Today is the third Sunday in Advent, called Gaudete Sunday. These are the announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. There will be benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this evening at 6 p.m. Today is the bake sale after Mass in the hall. Please bring your favorite baked items to the hall and be sure to price them. Next weekend will be the final opportunity to receive the sacrament of penance before Christmas. This week are the Ember Days. Don't forget. The antiphons begin today for Vespers, the O antiphons. So we presume you will pray them with us every day. You can look them up and find them so you can pray them with us. This Thursday is the feast of St. Thomas the Apostle. Christmas schedule is as follows. Next Sunday, the Mass is at 8 a.m. That's normal. 8 a.m. next Sunday morning. Sunday evening next week will also be the benediction of the Blessed Sacrament, because that begins the Feast of Christmas. 6 p.m. next Sunday, benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. Midnight Mass next Sunday evening, Sunday night at midnight is the Midnight Mass. And the chapel will open at 11 p.m. Monday, Christmas Day, High Mass, 10 a.m. Benediction of the Blessed Sacrament on Christmas Day, 6 p.m. And if you are planning on assisting at the Midnight Mass, we remind you that you need to be awake. That means you need to do whatever is necessary to be wide awake for the Midnight Mass. Otherwise, Christmas will pass you by, because you must be awake to be part of the Christmas Midnight Mass. And that is all of the announcements. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians. Brethren, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety, but in every prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Gospel. Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 1, verses 19 to 28. At that time, the Jews sent to John from Jerusalem priests and Levites to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he acknowledged and did not deny, and he acknowledged, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not." "Art thou the prophet?" And he answered, "No." They therefore said to him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What hast thou to say of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the desert, make straight the way of the Lord, as said Isaiah the prophet. And they who had been sent were from among the Pharisees. And they asked him and said to him, Why then dost thou baptize, if thou art not the Christ, nor Elias, nor the prophet? John said to them in answer, I baptize with water, but in the midst of you there has stood one whom you do not know. He it is who is to come after me, who has been set above me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to loose. These things took place at Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Notice the respect that people had for St. John the Baptist. Even these Pharisees, who were evil men for the most part. You see, they did not even have the correct faith. They asked him if he was Elias. What's that mean? Are you Elias? They believed in reincarnation. But even these men had such great respect for him that they were relying on him to tell them if he was the Christ, the Savior of the world. What kind of confidence people must have had in this great saint. You remember that we are told by scripture scholars and saints that Saint John the Baptist went into the desert when he was a little boy, all by himself, to be with God. By himself in the desert as a little boy, doing penance until he was approximately 30 years old. This is why he's given to you and to me on this day, because of his example for us of holiness, of dedication, of his gift of himself to God, complete dedication. So he tells us what we will talk about in a minute. But he is our example, our model. It should not be very difficult for us to see the theme of this Sunday, should it? Since it's called Gaudete Sunday, Rejoice Sunday. So that's our spirit for today, spirit of rejoicing. It's in the introit, and Holy Ghost and St. Paul repeat themselves again, rejoice in the Lord. And why? Because he is near, he is nigh. He's very close. Couldn't have a better reason for rejoicing than how close our Lord and Savior is to us, could you? He's here. Right here. body, blood, soul, and divinity. Who has that? And we will receive him into our hearts very soon. That's pretty close. But also, he is already in us, isn't he? If we are in the state of grace, we have God's life in us. Sanctifying grace, remember? Maybe you haven't looked at your catechism lately, but it's God's life in us. God's very life. It says, why he became a man, to give us a share in his life. Created share, but nevertheless, it is God's life and is given to you and me. But we also have uncreated grace. Remember? The Blessed Trinity? Blessed Trinity is in us. Three persons in one God, and they are sharing their life with us in a special way. In our soul and in our body. And they even make themselves felt from time to time. Even if we're not very holy, we still find evidence in our body that God is with us. Are you ever moved to look at the crucifix? Is that not your body? Is God not making his presence known even in your body? And if you do happen to look at the crucifix, you might receive another grace in your body in addition to your soul. You might, if you have some sorrow, even a little bit of sorrow for having crucified our Lord, for having caused his death by your sins, then you might shed a tear. And that's your body. Evidence of the presence of God. Because God wants us to know that he is with us. He is also nigh, because in a very short time he will come to us again under the aspect of his birth, and he will give us even greater spiritual favors, similar to those that he gave our Blessed Mother, Saint Joseph, and the shepherds. Graces to appreciate what he has done for us in becoming a man, becoming one of us. That's very soon. And these graces he gives to us not only for ourselves, but for others. And so we see in the epistle for today that St. Paul says, let your moderation, the Latin is modestia, modesty, but that's in our present day understanding of modesty is completely different than modestia in his time. So what we are to understand by this word is not the modesty, although they are related, but that's not what he's saying. Don't let your modesty be known to all men, but your Christian bearing, your dignity. Carry yourselves as members of Christ's body so people can see that person is a Christian, that person's a Catholic. He makes the sign of the cross. He says a blessing before he eats anything. And just your dignity. And they say, let it be seen by all men. Be an example. Not for the purpose of being an example, but just for the purpose of being a true, holy man or woman. Let your holiness be known to all men. Isn't that what they are saying? And we've seen people, we have heard people say that about people, Catholics. Something different about him. He's different than everybody else I've seen because of his control over himself. People know. And they say, do not be anxious, St. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything in this world. That's what he means. Do not worry about anything in this world. This means nothing to us. Christians are not even afraid of death. That's why we have millions of martyrs. Because they followed what the Holy Ghost told them. Do not be anxious about anything in this world. But when you pray, always thank God. Thank God for everything. Because everything is for your perfection. That's why they say, thank God for everything. In all your prayers, always thank God for everything. Every single thing in our lives is for our perfection. That's why God made us. That's why he made the world. And that's why everything happens to us. He even allows us to sin for our perfection, so that we can come to him on bended knee and beg him with tears to help us, so that we can finally understand how much we need him. And if we do not have his help, we can't do anything. This is what our whole life is about, our perfection. This is why God made us, not only, as the Holy Ghost says, not only for ourselves, but for others. We are part of God's plan. God loves the Blessed Virgin and the saints, does he not? But he made them not only for himself and for their own sakes. He made them perfect. He made them saints. Not only for them, but for us, for the people around them. And this is why he made you and me. Not only so that we might be an example to others, you know that, but we think maybe You do not appreciate the importance of your prayers. Because you see, we are involved in a great battle. You know that. This has been going on since day one. Almost the instant Christ was born, Herod tried to put him to death, tried to end all of this, put an end to Christianity at the beginning. And then Judas tried to have him put to death. He did, in fact. And so this has been going on for 2,000 years. And now, you and I are involved in the greatest battle to the death since the death of Christ. And we appear to be losing, don't we? But, brethren, we have our prayers, don't we? And we know that we will win. But if you do not pray for the church, then you are not part of the battle. You are not a soldier. Please pray for the church. Pray for the salvation of souls. Pray for the conversion of sinners. These people depend upon you. Your prayers do mean something. You are like the saints. God made you to pray. He does not have only in mind when He creates you that He wants to bring you to heaven, to be happy with Him for all eternity. He's not thinking only of you. You're not in a vacuum. You and I are in the greatest battle ever. You think this is just for you? God made you only for Him and yourself? How has He chosen us? It's a great mystery. But we do know that because of our prayers and God's providence, that we will win this battle. And when the church returns, when we regain our strength, it will be the most glorious victory in history. Will be magnificent. And this is our final hour, our finest hour, because we will win. And it is up to you and me. And in your prayers, be sure to pray for great favors, not only for your neighbors, for the rest of the people in the world, and for the church, but be sure to ask for great favors for yourselves. Remember that this is all about perfection, your perfection. Pray for the perfection of others. Ask God to make you holy. Beg of Him great love. This is what the saints did. And it is not only God who made them saints. It was He used their prayers to accomplish these great miracles of sanctity that we see in history. You must pray for the same. We have this gospel for today, and we have Saint John saying to these Pharisees, he's rebuking them. And he says to them, there has stood in the midst of you one whom you do not know. And then he goes on to describe our Lord and Savior, that St. John says, I am not even worthy to help remove his sandal from his feet. This was a rebuke. And St. John is speaking not only to these Pharisees, but he's speaking to you and me. Because these words can be applied to us, can't they not? Can they not? There has been one in your midst whom you have not known as you should know him. How well should you know the Savior of the world? Should you not know him intimately? The proof that you should is that you come up here and you receive him. We receive God. In our heart, we receive him in our soul, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. He joins us to himself. So closely that he says that we depend on him in the same way that the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost are united. Imagine that. It's beyond, even in heaven, we will not be able to understand this, how closely we are united to him. And this is what he does for us when we receive him in Holy Communion. That we are one with God. And is it right? Is it fitting that we should receive God in our heart and then walk out those doors and live the life that the rest of the worldlings live? Is that right? Many of the saints, when they received the Holy Eucharist, died. Saint Imelda, she received Holy Communion and God took her to himself. And the saints weren't the only ones that did this. We have a book that talks about first communicants, and many of the stories of these first communicants are that they died when they received first Holy Communion. Tiny children. Do you think they were right? Or do you think we are right to be able to walk away from this unaffected, not holy? We are unimpressed by God. We are unimpressed by his death for us. By his birth for you. Who's right, the saints or us? Or even these first communicants? Now we know that this was a gift from God. They didn't die because they had a bad heart. God took them. And that was for you and me as an example of how much we should be affected. How great should our perfection be? Because we receive God in our church. So you see, we have many reasons to rejoice on Rejoice Sunday. We are told by spiritual writers that more often than not, the people who attain perfection the holy people are the poor. Children, little children. The illiterate. You think your knowledge is important? How is your knowledge going to help you get to heaven? Isn't that the only knowledge that counts? Your knowledge of salvation, how to save your soul. The illiterate obtain perfection more often than we do. And are you ready for this one? Savages. The apostles tell us, we mean the apostles, the people who have evangelized people around the world. Savages in our own country, when they came here, when the apostles came here, the great martyrs, North American martyrs, and others, that these savages, many of them obtain perfection, holiness, more than you and me. Because of their humility, their simplicity, we can say because of their ignorance. Because they didn't think they had much to offer. They learned the faith and they immediately gave themselves to God. So brethren, on Gaudete Sunday, maybe you can obtain what all of these simple people have obtained. If you pray for it, if you ask God this great favor to make you like these simple savages and little children and illiterate people and the poor. Be like them. And give yourself to God completely so that this world means nothing to you anymore. May God bless you.